Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear a Minnesota soldier's story of service and get an update from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employer support Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to get the story of a soldier who has done double service in the state of Minnesota. And joining me right now is Katie Blackwell, who is a Command Sergeant Major for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls and also an inspector for the Minneapolis Police Department. And Katie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Katie, I think the last time that you joined us on the show, we were talking about you were deployed and a few years back and you were on convoy duty. And you were helping get our troops and our equipment out of Iraq when we were pulling out of Iraq. And how many convoys were you on?
Just over 168 combat missions.
And most of them were pretty good, except for that one where you ran into
it. Yeah, we had a few bumps in the road.
One of them called an IED that nobody died in, but you got hurt a little bit. And I think, as I recall, you told me that you loved that duty.
I loved being a convoy escort team, especially in the scout vehicle. It was like Easter egg hunting every day and trying to keep the troops safe and get our missions and supplies where we to the next base.
And as I recall, for that mission, you were over there for the best part of a year and millions of miles and got everybody out safe, got equipment out safe, got troops home safe. By any measure, it was a pretty successful deployment.
Yes, I believe so.
Now, we have to ask you, Katie, you've been in, how long have you been in the military now?
Well, coming up on 24 years.
24 years. And you also are an inspector with the Minneapolis Police Department, so you've got dual careers with different uniforms.
I do.
How many years have you been with the Minneapolis PD?
About 21 years now.
Wow. So you've really had double duty both ways for all that time. Has it been a conflict? Has it been an issue? How hard has it been?
There has been some times where I didn't know what uniform to wear, the blue or the green. We work very well together, and I think the National Guard is very supportive of my role in the police department, and vice versa. The police department is incredibly supportive of our National Guard career. So,
and Katie, the last couple of years have been incredibly busy due to the pandemic and due to some civil issues. It seems from my view that the Minneapolis PD and all of the other agencies, including the Minnesota National Guard, have been working closer together than ever.
We have, and I think we're getting to know each other really well. Even before that, just, you know, even with Super Bowl and other events in Minneapolis where the National Guard came in to support. So I think we're all getting to know each other pretty well and are understanding now how we operate with one another.
Well, we remember the Super Bowl a few years back. I think it was one of the coldest weeks we've had in Minnesota in a long time.
It was. And it was, I was assigned Super Bowl Live, so it was incredibly cold on Nicollet Mall.
And as I recall, there were about 700 soldiers and airmen from the Minnesota National Guard helping keep the Super Bowl secure.
Yes, it was a big help.
Now, when something like that happens, can you explain as Inspector Blackwell, who's in charge? I assume the Minneapolis PD is in charge, or perhaps it's the Homeland Security, and then the Minnesota National Guard comes in and helps out. Is that how it works?
Correct. When there's an event like that, the Minneapolis Police Department's in charge, and then the National Guard comes in to support. If it's a disaster, then depends on if the state takes over, then the National Guard or the state would be in charge, but they follow the lead of the police department, really, what we need in our wherever we need help.
And of course, Super Bowl, that was a national, international event. We wanted to keep everybody safe, and that one turned out pretty well too.
Extremely successful. We couldn't have did it without the help of the National Guard soldiers.
So which side, which uniform were you wearing during the Super Bowl?
You know, I flipped back and forth a couple times, but only to brief some troops on some military stuff, and then I flipped back to the blue in my police uniform so I could run the mission on Nicollet Mall for Super Bowl Live.
So you get up in the morning and say, oh, am I working for the police department or am I working at
I do. Sometimes it's confusing. I have to ask my husband, which uniform should I wear? He gets it. He's former law enforcement, military too, so...
And your husband serves in the military as well, right?
He did. He got out now, so
he's retired. So you're carrying the load now, the dual load, police officer and command sergeant major.
Yes, sometimes he carries the load with cooking dinner though. So
well, that works too. That works too. Now, Katie, last time we talked to you, you were a first sergeant. You've since been promoted on the military side to battalion, I believe, command sergeant major. Can you explain to our listeners what that means?
Sure. So I'm out of the 34th Infantry Division. It's the headquarters battalion. And so when you think of 34th Infantry Division, it's a very large operation. So the battalion is kind of like the heart. We provide logistics and resources to everybody in the battalion, and we provide communication and security measures for the battalion so that everything operates smoothly.
Very good. We're speaking with Katie Blackwell, who is a command sergeant major in the Army National Guard and an inspector on the Minneapolis Police Department on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Katie, command sergeant major, 34th Infantry Division, if that means that at least a one weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer, plus much more than that now, you get called up to duty as a command sergeant major. How does that work with the police department when we know that the Minneapolis Police Department is understaffed right now? Is that a big friction point?
It's not a friction point. It's challenging at times. The National Guard does have a lot more training dates in certain years. So I always take the opportunity to have my lieutenant step up and mentor them into that next leadership role. So I basically learn in the military where you teach and mentor your soldiers so that they can take your place someday. The same thing here in the police department.
So you have to just coordinate things and work it out and get your work done whenever and however you can.
Yes, it's a lot of communication.
And it keeps Katie busy, I think, too.
Keeps very busy.
Katie, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11/2001. How has that impacted your career in the military or on the police department?
So, wow, September 11th changed a lot of things. When I first came in the Guard, you know, we trained a lot, but when September 11th happened, I've never seen so many soldiers standing there on the base when it occurred and just wanted to help in some way, knowing that we were under attack. I think we've just been extremely busy in the National Guard for the last two decades since then. Became very real really quickly. And I think when I first came in, I've never seen Minnesotans and other people so very supportive of those in green, in the green uniform, and saying thank you for your service. And I didn't quite know how to respond to that because I had never heard that before. But I think overall, the community has just come together so much to support us.
Now, Katie, on this radio show, we've heard stories from all over Minnesota and around the country on 9/11 when that happened. Everybody was wondering who did it, what happened. We heard these stories that the guardsmen and women went to their bases, they went to their armories, and they were ready to do something. They just weren't quite sure what to do. Can you explain what is that attitude? How does our military do that? I understand it, but for our listeners.
Well, I think there's a sense of community with National Guard. We do a lot of state active duties for the state of Minnesota when there's disasters. And when things happen abroad, you just want to help a community. But I also think that we train so much that it's almost like a football player training for a Super Bowl, that one day this is the Super Bowl. Not that war is a Super Bowl, but it's a very big event. And I think soldiers want to get in there and put their skills to use and help the community overseas, whether it's home or abroad.
So our patriotic duties are ready to go.
Agreed. We saw a huge influx of people that had gotten out of the service prior to September 11th come back in and want to help serve our country. So very patriotic.
And we've heard stories that a lot of those that signed up right after 9/11 are getting close to their 20 years in and already they're almost eligible to retire. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me.
It's amazing that it's been so long, but never forgotten of what happened. But, you know, we have a whole new generation coming in and filling some big roles and experience that's retiring.
Now, Katie, and that's, I understand that completely, being a Vietnam veteran, because I kind of wanted to go myself, but I was too old for that. But let's talk about the Minneapolis Police Department. We've had a couple of tough years here in Minneapolis. Some things happened. I've seen and heard news that there are people all over the community that want to step up and help as well. Is there? Have you been involved in trying to pull that all together and help resolve things so that people can live side by side and be safe and happy?
Yes, I actually it's interesting. I go to a lot of community meetings, a lot of business meetings. I have a wonderful precinct here in Southwest Minneapolis, and it's amazing how much the community supports not only Minneapolis Police but the Minnesota Army National Guard. And actually, when things go wrong, the first thing they're asking for is the guard to come in and help. Because they're so used to seeing the guard members down here and just really love them. My role as an inspector, I think my National Guard side helps out with communicating with the public and problem-solving some of these issues with the lack of resources that we have at times.
And, Katie, we heard a lot of reports during the civil problems in the last couple of years that when the guard was called up, even no matter who's involved, people know those are our friends, those are our neighbors, those are our relatives, and the vision of who are the guard and why are they here is not one that they're out there to punish anybody. They're just trying to settle things down, and it seemed like on the news when they were there to back up the Minneapolis Police Department and the Highway Patrol, things did kind of settle down after a day or two. That partnership has to be invaluable.
It is invaluable, and I was never more happy to see the National Guard come in to assist us and the community. The community, they needed help. We needed help. And from me, Katie Blackwell, to all the soldiers that responded, from the Minneapolis Police Department, we thank you. We cannot thank you enough for helping our community and us.
Very good, Katie. We have to take a short break when we come back. I know you've got a partner on the MPD that's going to be with us. We're recording today from the 5th Precinct in Minneapolis. We'll be back with Minnesota Military Radio in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show, we're recording for the Minneapolis Police Department, 5th Precinct, and we've been talking to Katie Blackwell, who is an inspector with the Minneapolis Police Department and also a command sergeant major with the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. And Katie, thanks for hosting us here today. It was kind of fun to come down and see the building and so forth. And we've talked about your career, which is really part blue and part green on the Minneapolis PD and in the Army National Guard. And I would think from everything you've told us that those two careers are really complementary.
They are. They go hand in hand for sure.
And so you're ready for either side, whether it's escort duty on convoy or working with the neighbors in the 5th Precinct to try to make sure everybody's safe.
Agreed. Yes, I love it.
Well, Katie, we've got another member of the Minneapolis Police Department with us. Would you like to introduce her?
I would love to introduce Sergeant Kia Boyd. She is with the Minneapolis Police Department Training Division. You know, we call it recruitment, but really it's talent management she's looking for.
Kia, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Kia, I understand that you've got some military connections in your family.
Yes, my father, unfortunately, he had to disable out 3 or 4 back injuries. But my uncle, several of cousins, and a female cousin in the Navy.
Oh, so you know plenty of people, including Katie,
yes,
who are in the military. Now, can you tell us how long you've been with Minneapolis PD?
15 and a half years.
And I see that you've filled quite a few positions. We were over at the 3rd Precinct for a while, and in and out of recruiting, your present position is recruiting supervisor?
Yes.
And can you tell us what that all entails?
I'm pretty much just going out, letting the community know and other surrounding areas know that we're hiring, and not just that we're hiring. Since we no longer have a community engagement team, that kind of funnels into our recruitment. So I'm at community events, just getting people more familiarized with the department and what we have to offer.
Now, Kia, we've had a couple of tough years with the pandemic and all that going on, and mm-hmm. then we had some civil unrest, and I know that some of the officers from Minneapolis PD retired because they
yes.
were able to do that. How many officers are we looking for, and how many positions do you have to fill?
We're looking for a lot. I would say right now over 200, just so we can start getting back to filling those spots, not just avoid it, but everyone's going to retire at some point, right? So we want to have enough officers in position to where we don't feel so much of a decrease in our numbers.
So you're kind of behind the eight ball right now. You could use quite a few new officers
yes.
to fill in and be able to get out there and get proactive.
Yes, definitely.
And make sure that you've got a safe community.
Yes.
Now, you've been on the force for quite a while. Is this a good place to work?
It's a great place to work. I'm born and raised here from South Minneapolis, 36th and Columbus. Went to Patrick Henry High School in North Minneapolis. So.
And it seems like you and Katie are pretty good buddies, too.
Yes. We actually, years back, I don't know if she remembers, a lot of years back, we did an undercover unit together.
Yeah. How'd that go,
we
Katie?
Did. It went really well.
It did. I think at some point we forgot what our mission was, but we got on task.
That's Katie, story for the bar.
Katie, I want to come to you. We've talked about your dual careers, Minnesota National Guard and here at the MPD. For any of our veterans that are out there or anyone that served in the military and they are perhaps in security police, military police, whatever they might have been in, what would you have to say to them if they were thinking about coming to work for Minneapolis?
I would say they would love it. I think, you know, despite negativity that they see on social media sometimes or on the news, that we have an overwhelming level of support from our communities. I too, am from Northeast Minneapolis, and I'm amazed every day at not only the support from the community, but there's a sense of belonging when you're in the military and you're wearing a uniform and you have a chain of command and that support network, that camaraderie you feel, that a spirit of corps that you feel in the military, it goes hand in hand. And that sense of wanting to help others, and that's a lot of what this job is. So,
and Kia, if we just watch the news, unfortunately, mm-hmm. the media is only going to show us there was a shooting here, there was an accident there, there was something bad happened. But how is it in the communities? How is it in the 5th Precinct? Is your relationship with the people that live here good and strong?
Yes, it is. I'm fortunate in that position that I can go to all over the city, you know, not just the 5th Precinct. And just the other night, I was at Falwell Park, and it's just a large amount of support and stuff and just saying, we appreciate you being out here. We understand it's tough right now. So it's an overwhelming amount of support.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from the 5th Precinct, the Minneapolis Police Department. We've been joined by Inspector Katie Blackwell and Sergeant Kia Boyd. Sergeant Boyd, what are the job duties and responsibilities for someone if they're going to join the blue of the Minneapolis Police Department?
Some of the job functions are working as a team and answering 911 calls, responding to community events, and also, one thing I want to touch on is our 3 pathways, right? Not a lot of people just know about our recruitment pathway, the traditional quote-unquote pathway, but we also have our cadet program, and that's for anyone who has 2 or 4-year degree in any profession, right? We have officers who have an English degree or an art history degree, you know, and we just train you to be post-eligible while we pay for your schooling and while you work with us.
Very good.
We also have a community service officer position where you don't have to have any degree at all. Just the requirements is a GED or a diploma. And we will pay up to 2 years of your tuition while you work part-time with us, making $20 to $23 an hour.
Very good.
And as far as with the military goes, we have the military reciprocity. And you can find tons of information on that on our post board. But also a lot of our military are in military policing. Right? So that also gets credit towards becoming a police officer.
So, Kia, the licensing and state requirements to become a police officer, I think I'm hearing you saying if you don't have those accomplished already, you can join the MPD and we'll help you do that.
Not just help you. We will also give you a hourly wage and pay for your tuition.
Okay. So a great program to kind of grow your own.
Yes. And one thing MPD, I would say, does a great job is honoring our military with providing military time. So it's separate time off because we know that we appreciate the work that you do overseas and here in the United States. So you get granted military time as well.
So to become a member of the Minneapolis MPD, are there physical requirements? Is there some mental, psychological exams involved?
Yes, we do have a psych exam. But that's in the beginning. What happens is you submit application, and then you go right into an oral exam. And then you, from the oral exam, because our background is about 3 months, so we want to get you right away into getting backgrounded and everything. Then comes our physical assessment. And it's not a pass-fail. It's where you at now, right? Because say if you miss a push-up or something like that, does that really mean that you can't become an officer? No, it doesn't, right? But by the end of our academy, we're going to get you to where you need to be.
So, Katie, PT, physical training, we'll fix that, right?
Yes, we will.
I believe you. So, Kia, it sounds to me like you want to find as many good-hearted, smart young people you can and help them become police departments and help you take care of your community.
Definitely.
And Katie, you've been here for quite a while. Are things better in this community, better in Minneapolis than the general public thinks?
Well, I think, crime has increased not just in Minneapolis but across the country. And it's a significant issue facing law enforcement everywhere. But I feel like if we were able to get more support or more support from filling these positions, that it would definitely help out and alleviate some of this. But I will say that I've never seen a community come together more than I have now with us and working with us to make things better. When I was talking about going to different community meetings and business meetings, really, I've never seen so many communities come together as one to help out in their community. So I see it getting better. It's going to take time.
I wish we hear that story more and more often on the general media and in the news, because, as I said, all they report about is a fire or an accident or a shooting, and that's too bad. Now, Kia, we've just got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to call from all over Minnesota, and how fast do you want them to come join the Blue here in the Minneapolis Police Department?
Come as soon as possible. You can contact me. I'll even give you my work cell phone number at 612-475-6482, or you can kia.boyd@minneapolismn.gov, or you can visit our city's website. I'll leave you with information as well. So,
all right, so the easiest thing for our listeners is to go online and look up minneapolismn.gov, and you can probably find all the information you need about joining the police department. And Kia, tell me again. You'll train them, you'll pay them, you'll put them through school, and you'll help them become a valued member of this community.
Definitely. And one quick thing, if I have a quick amount of time, is that our health and wellness is on point with supporting the military and stuff in our peer support team. So we would enjoy more military joining our peer support team to provide that service.
Very good. Sergeant Boyd, thanks for joining us today. And Command Sergeant Major Inspector Blue Green, Katie, it's always good to see you again.
Thanks for joining us
on Minnesota Military.
Appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
That was Katie Blackwell and Sergeant Kia Boyd from the Minneapolis Police Department on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're getting an update from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. A weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Commanders Task Force, or CTF, is made up of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Vietnam Veterans of America, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, AMVETS, Jewish War Veterans, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. The CTF acts as a single voice for veterans in Minnesota. They meet monthly to discuss the issues affecting veterans and their families and facilitate communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF promotes legislative initiatives and represents veterans and their families on the Hill. The CTF is also an advisory board to me, and for that I am very grateful. I look forward to working with the commanders in the upcoming year.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Todd Kemmery, who is the president of the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Todd, and he's also a Marine, as anybody that's listened to the show is aware. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I certainly do appreciate it.
Todd, good to see you in person. It's been a tough couple of years. We had the pandemic, and people were hiding from each other, and we had to make sure you didn't get sick, or me.
Right.
And I think we both got through that safely so far, knock on wood, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's been a couple of tough years. How has that impacted your organization?
So we're still feeling some of those effects. Our office space is over at the SCI Center, Spinal Cord Injury Center at the VA Hospital, and we have to be very careful about how long we can be in there at our office, how many days a week, because that's a very vulnerable population in spinal cord injury. So we're still doing a lot of work from home and by conference and a lot of that. We're getting it done, but yeah, that's even though people are going back to work, we have to be extra careful.
And Todd, we're going to get an announcement towards the end of the show here from the VA saying that this booster shot everybody's talking about, don't take it yet, but those people that have some issues, They want them to take it sooner. Would that apply to some of your members?
Absolutely. It's like the rest of the population out there. You have a percentage of the people that just you can't convince them to do get the shot, but then you have others that are genuinely concerned on how you not only for your own safety, but you want to be safe for other people that are around you, and you don't want to be carrying things.
A lot of discussion that we probably wouldn't have imagined a couple of years ago.
No.
Todd, I want to talk a little bit about the Commander's Task Force. You've actually spent the last 2 years as the chair of the Commander's Task Force, and the commissioner just laid out all of the organizations that are a part of that, and the reason you took that for a second year, I don't know why you took it the first year. It's a big job, but you did a great job.
Thank you.
But then you had to do it for 2 years. You're still the chair for a bit longer.
Yes, that's true. If they asked me to do it a third time, I would go ahead and do it because those 2 years as the chair really opened my eyes to how things, the continuity and the ability to finish off projects, legislative issues. It was a wonderful 2 years, and I don't have any complaints. I'm very thankful that I was able to have that extra time to see how things happened legislatively.
And it probably made a lot of sense for you to step into that post because you've been working on the legislative stuff for years and years.
Long time, at least 14 years. Part in my history, my working hat for PVA has been legislative.
Now, Todd, the Commander's Task Force does a number of things. One of the things they do is they are an advisory board to the commissioner, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, which I know you work closely with them. But the other thing is to develop a unified Minnesota Veterans Legislative Agenda among your organization and all of the other veteran service organizations, VFW, DAV, American Legion, all nine of them. And so you've been working on that, and every year your aim is to get up and talk to the state legislators and then participate and run or help all the veterans come up and have Veterans Day at the Capitol.
That's correct. We spend time with as many legislators as we can to promote our needs and make sure that they're responsible for taking care of the veterans here in Minnesota. And we also need to do that with the help from the veterans. So the more boots on the ground, if you will, and more people getting in contact with their legislators, that's what we need. And so that's what part of what the CTF is all about is disseminate that information and then ask their membership and auxiliaries to do their part. And then, of course, for our part, as the commanders and the presidents that sit around the table with the Commander's Task Force, we need to facilitate and manage that. And if that means going up at 9 o'clock at night up at the Capitol to be part of a committee testimony, then that's what we do.
And you want to present a united veterans leadership team among all of those commanders of those veteran service organizations so that when you go up to the Capitol, those legislators understand what's most important here in Minnesota.
Right. One voice, a veteran is a veteran, and we focus on that. We're a team.
We're speaking to one of our favorite Marines, Todd Kemmery, on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, just to follow up on that last question, a lot of times I hear people that have served in the military and they're wondering, why should I join a veteran service organization? The best answer I've gotten was to be represented by the Commander's Task Force because all your combined membership, when you go up to the state legislature, they know how many members you have and it helps you amplify your voice.
That's absolutely true, Tom, and that's the concept that will keep us on the front page, so to speak. If more veterans that sign up with their whatever veterans organization that they fit the most with, together with those large numbers, there's 313,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. So all you know, when all 313 of us start talking, then
somebody's going to listen, especially somebody running for office.
Right.
Very good. So Todd, one of the things that we passed over the last couple of years is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. Can you give us kind of an update on where that stands and what's going on with it?
Yeah, so we were happy to see, and there were some representatives that were and senators that were key and making this happen. And that would be Representative Feist, Representative Eklund, and also Senator Andrew Lang. There's many others involved, but they were key components to this. But basically, all 87, 86 counties in the state of Minnesota are now going to have a Veterans Restorative Court. And then it's just an additional tool that we will be able to use and be able to help with the zero suicide rate and zero veterans homelessness here in the state of Minnesota. So they all interlink together, and there's a thread of connection between that. And now we have tools in the toolbox to help with all of that.
Now, Todd, this doesn't result in a get-out-of-jail-free card.
No.
This is a method whereby a veteran has some issues due to his service, gets in some problems, can work his way out of it, rehabilitate himself, and earn his way back to a situation where they are cleared of the problem.
That is true. It's not a free ride. You have to work for the clearance once, and it even continues on with the treatment continues on even if the sentence is up. You have to finish and complete this before the judge says, you've done well, and we're going to sign your paperwork, and we welcome you back to being a responsible citizen.
So they have to make a commitment, and actually it's a harder row, the road to hoe, than it is to just say, okay, I'll accept my punishment and go.
Right. The emphasis has been on that altogether from the beginning. This is something that you work for, and when you're done with it, then you'll be able to continue on being productive in your life.
That's a great job done, and you guys have been working on that for a long time.
Even before I became part of the Commander's Task Force, it goes back as far as 10 years. But things started heating up here about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and so there were people like Tommy Johnson and Trent Dilks of the DAV. So there were some people that, and then of course there's other entities that were involved with that. So, yes.
Prolonged effort over many years. Great job done. We're speaking with Todd Kemery, president of the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America and the current chair of the Commander's Task Force. We have to take a short break. We'll be back with more Minnesota Military Radio in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Todd Kemery, who, as we all know, is a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. But he's also the president of the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and just coming down on the tail end of 2 years as chairman of the Commander's Task Force. And, Todd, we've been talking about that, and the major focus there is working with the commissioner of the MDVA, but also providing united leadership on issues that are most important to our veterans population with the state legislature and some exposure to the federal.
That is correct, Tom, and thank you for pointing that out. We work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Commissioner Herkey. We also work very hard at some of the other veterans issues that need to be prioritized and also highlighted for when we make our presentations to our legislators.
Just another example of that old adage, we stand on the shoulders of those that came before us. In our World War II veterans, Korean, Vietnam, they all battled for veterans' rights, and you're still doing it and working it hard today.
Yes, thank you.
Todd, I want to talk a little bit about the vet centers here in Minnesota. I understand there's just a few of them. Are we going to build some more?
That's our goal. Right now, Anoka, St. Paul, and Duluth are the three vet centers that are currently operating in Minnesota. What we'd like to do is get the federal government and the state of Minnesota to recognize that St. Cloud, Bemidji, and Mankato is also needed. That will cover some of the gaps that are in there. If you look at our state and you put a 60-mile radius around the Anoka, St. Paul, and Duluth, there's a lot of the western side of the state that's not covered. And you know, of course, there's Fargo and there's Sioux Falls, but that's not Minnesota. So, you know, we have 313,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota, and that's continued to grow. And with the missions that the National Guard are starting to do more frequently, what that represents is now currently one counselor has to take care of 24,000 veterans. we need more. Not only do we need more counselors, but we need to be able to have more brick and mortar buildings so that people don't have to drive 5 or 6 hours to try and get some relief and some help.
So, Todd, these vet centers aren't just for a place for old Marines to hang out. It's a place where all veterans can go and get some counseling, get some help.
That is correct. As much as the Marines would like to have and take and conquer vet centers for their own, it is designed for everybody else.
Very good, sir. Say, we've got a big anniversary coming up. I can't believe it's been 20 years since the attacks of 9/11/2001, and there's going to be a big event over at the state capitol.
It is on 9/11. There's going to be a remembrance ceremony that pretty much lasts all day long. And it'll be at multiple sites. So the Armory is going to have some displays there. There's going to be some static displays on the mall, flyovers. But the planning that has gone into it is really surreal at this point, along with the current events that have been happening throughout the world. This 20-year remembrance is quite poignant comparing that to today's news.
And it's really amplified by the recent withdrawal of our troops from Afghanistan and the problems that we're having there. And everybody's thinking about, wow, 20 years, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan, 20 years since that happened. It just flashes me back to Vietnam. But I want to stay positive on this show, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. So having said that, and I agree with that totally, but for us here in the state of Minnesota, it's an opportunity for us to honor family members, civilian and military, and also our veterans that spent all that time during that era. And it's going to be their day on 9/11.
And you can find more information on that at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website. Todd, we just got a couple of minutes left. What else is going on at the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America? You got some events coming up this fall? Are you going fishing or anything?
We just finished, or actually as we speak, we're in the last couple of days of some chapter members up at a fishing event in Ely, up at Veterans on the Lake. So I just recently got some pictures back on how the smoke and all the major fires that are going up there, and they're safe and everything's going okay. But that's beyond that. We have our trap shooting. We have some bowling that we do for our membership, and that's going to be ongoing. It's great that we're back to doing things. We have season tickets for the Twins and for the Vikings, and now that fans are allowed to go back, that's what we're doing, is helping our membership get off the couch.
Now, Todd, you've been the president of that organization since we lost Ken.
Yes.
And we all miss him. I understand there's an election coming up, and you're not running for president.
I was wearing two hats that Ken was wearing, and I don't know how he did that other than the quality of man that he was and how he served our chapter. But as national director and president, those are two separate jobs, and so for the – for myself to be most effective, then I am the national director, and so I'm not running for re-election for president. So
you're going to stay involved in what you love, and that's the legislative agendas.
Yes.
And there's only one person running for president?
There is. Vicki Garrison is currently on the ballot, and my experience with her this past year, she couldn't be a better replacement than
She's really been your partner the last year.
Very much so, yes.
Well, we wish her well, and we'll have to see if she can talk on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back on to talk about legislative issues and get involved in Veterans Day in the Hill coming up next spring.
That's right. Tom, I really do appreciate our relationship and the ability that we can come on and speak to the issues and just have our friendly conversations back and forth. I really do appreciate that.
I've enjoyed them, Todd, and I appreciate you coming down to the Minneapolis Police Department, 5th District today, listen to the interview with the officers, and coming out, getting out is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that was one of the goals that I was happy to fulfill today, was to come down here and get some friendly abuse from you today.
Well, thank you, Marine. That was Todd Kemmery, the chair of the Commander's Task Force and the current president of the Minnesota Association, or Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Today we're bringing you a message from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on COVID-19 and the booster shots.
Hello, I'm Brad Dobuzinski, the public affairs officer at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. There has been much discussion about the booster or third dose of COVID-19 vaccine for the general population. There are no formal recommendations for additional vaccinations from the CDC currently. Third doses are only approved for moderate to severe immune compromised. Available data show that immune compromised people don't always build adequate levels of protection after an initial two-dose primary mRNA or the Pfizer BioNTech or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine series. The data also show that these individuals may benefit from receiving an additional dose of an mRNA vaccine to develop increased protection against COVID-19. Who is eligible for an additional dose? An additional dose of Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine after an initial two-dose primary COVID-19 series should only be considered for people with moderate to severe immune compromise due to a medical condition or receipt of immune suppressive medication or treatments. How are third doses being arranged for eligible veterans? The Minneapolis VA Healthcare System COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic is working to contact veterans with immune compromised conditions to schedule a third dose of the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for those who have already completed two doses. Veterans cannot walk into the COVID-19 vaccine clinic to receive a third dose. Veterans should not call the call center to arrange a third dose. We do not currently have Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. Immune-compromised veterans who have completed two doses of the Moderna vaccine should seek a third dose in the community. We anticipate providing third doses for all veterans at some time in the future, but we are currently prioritizing the immune-compromised. Thank you.
That was Brad Dobrzynski from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Katie Blackwell, Kia Boyd, Todd Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, Brad Dobrzynski from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we record from the Dan Patch Park stage at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.